Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 40. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Kick it on the way.
It's good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri goes to 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
He gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around, throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown! Santonio holds! Rodgers,
Tom Brady
doesn't know how he did it,
but they room
touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion, comes right, back to throw Montana, steps up, throws, touchdown,
48ers, Raiders with a touchdown, a 10-yard pass, the 49ers have scored with 34 seconds remaining.
Direct snap to man. Back to throw. The rush. Gonna be hit. Gonna be sacked. No, he got out of it. Now he fires downfield. And it is caught. Caught at the 24-yard line. How in the world did he do that?
Good evening, all, and welcome into another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House, my company here on December 13th, and we have just concluded NFL Week 14, just 3 weeks now remaining in the entire season. And as we have been doing for, well, as we really started doing last week in earnest, you can bet that it'll be playoffs, playoffs, playoffs is what we'll be talking this evening. And a couple of key games, of course, that came into play with that this past weekend, particularly on Sunday. Well, first one, though, actually came last Thursday. Don't look now, but over in the AFC West, no, it's not the Broncos. No, it's not the Raiders. It's the Kansas City Chiefs that sit atop that division. I'm telling you, the AFC West is absolutely just so much fun. But there's so many things that are moving around right now over in the AFC. The AFC is actually a lot more, in my opinion, a lot more kind of volatile. And from that perspective, it's a lot more kind of enticing and enjoyable to watch. But there you have it. Raiders and Broncos now below the Kansas City Chiefs. And in fact, in some models, believe it or not, the Broncos may not even make the playoffs if things don't fall exactly the way that they want them to at this point. We'll talk about some of the scenarios that where that some of these things could come into play here this evening. Certainly, if we don't get them tonight, well, you got another couple of shows before the entire season ends. So trust me, we'll be getting into it all. How about those feel-good, I got to start using the phrase now, feel-good Tennessee Titans? Could they possibly sneak into the postseason? Right now, they're tied in the AFC South. Actually, they hold the second spot because of a tiebreaker, but have the exact same record, 7-6, as the Houston Texans. And, in fact, I'm wondering if you take a look at schedules, could, in fact, the Tennessee Titans actually win that division? One thing that you might be thinking at this point is, could the Indianapolis Colts, in about 4 or 5 weeks from now, when they're all sitting around on the golf course, will they be looking back at week 14 and saying, that was the game where we lost it? Because now the Colts find themselves sitting technically in third place in the AFC South, and with a 6-7 record. Gotta wonder, was this the week the Colts actually got knocked out of there? How about those Green Bay Packers? I'm going to tell you right now, I can make a case for the Green Bay Packers not just getting into the playoffs, but actually winning the division. I can do that this evening. I might get a chance to do that. Yeah, might get a chance to do that. I can make a case for the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North outright. Hard to imagine. This was a team just a couple of weeks ago. Everybody was probably just packing it in. They'll be the team on the golf course. Not so fast. R-E-L-A-X. And then last but not least, we got to take over, take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. Ah, they've been bitten by the Giants twice now. They've got two losses in their column, both of them coming from the New York Giants. And I got to be honest with you, interesting game the other night. If you like defensive football, it was a game that you probably enjoyed. 10-7, the Giants won that one. Most people would say, oh, God, that must have been a terrible game. It really wasn't. Unless you were a Cowboys fan or you were rooting for the Cowboys, in which case it was a little bit agonizing because the Giants' defense really came in there and really put it to them. We're going to be getting into all of those different scenarios, plus many, many more that I'm sure I'm not even anticipating at this point. Listen, we haven't even touched. I haven't even brought up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at this point. There's a team that we should probably be highlighting, certainly, as they're in a tie in their division. So many different moving parts going on right now to help me make some sense of everything that's happening. And I have a funny feeling this could be a program tonight that just gets completely off the agenda and off the rails. Let me get my co-host in here, Brandon. Brandon, are we ready to take it off the rails? We're going to take it off the rails, aren't we?
What, you think I'm sidekick tonight? What's going on? Sidekick's the one who generally takes shoes off the rails, not me. Come on now.
I could see
although,
this one, though.
You know, he would be thumping his chest today, you know,
oh, yes,
rejoicing in the firing of
yes,
his ex-team's former head coach at this point.
You know, it would be it is kind of a shame that we're not going to have Sidekick with us on immediately on Thursday night on our Fred House Sports Show. I was thinking of that today with all of the brouhaha that has taken place over with the Los Angeles Rams, formerly St. Louis Rams. If anybody wants to jump in here with us this evening and help us make some sense of all this nonsense, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports, 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can hit us up in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can reach me over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Checking my notifications constantly. Just checked it even now. I generally like to start the program, Brandon, with kind of one off the beaten path kind of question. Let me throw one at you that I kind of came up with as the intro was playing there. A bubble team. Is there a bubble team right now? Is there a team that some people are talking about that are still technically in the mix of things that you would say, oh, come on now. Come on, man. Stick a fork in them. Is there that bubble team out there that, you know, when you see the graphics that they put up on television and, you know, forget looking at the division leaders. My eyes generally are going over to the wild card scenarios. I like the wild card scenarios column. Is there one that has been coming up there for you either in the AFC or the NFC scenarios that you kind of look at and go, really? Seriously? Nah, they're not making it.
The Miami Dolphins in the AFC, and I'm starting to think the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC. of all the teams that are still quote unquote in the hunt, I think Miami's chances went, you know, by the wayside when Tannehill's, you know, sprained his knee. If they had a shot to begin with. I wasn't convinced of that to begin with because I think the AFC West and the North are probably going to send your wild card teams. I don't think you're going to see one, you know, from the AFC East. Granted, the Ravens are one behind the Dolphins right now, but that's not going to – I don't think that's going to end that way. I think the Baltimore Ravens are too good a team. I think they just have the distinction of playing in a pretty tough division. I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are both tough teams. And as far as the Vikings, I realize they won this week, but they just don't pass the eye test. There's something about the team that just looks off, you know, and I heard you during your intro about the Green Bay Packers making a case for him. I'm sure there's an absolute case because there's probably enough division games left, you know, against some of these other teams that they can win, that can probably, you know, if they can, you know, catapult off their play this last week. I mean, they handed it to a Seattle team that I, you know, was just saying last week, they look like they're the real deal. Well, okay. Well, in a week's time, you know, now all of a sudden Green Bay looks good and Seattle's probably still going to make the playoffs because they're in such a bad division, but they don't look as strong as they did a week ago. So, you know, to answer your question, I think Miami from the AFC and probably the Vikings from the NFC, with maybe an honorable mention. You know, I don't know if, you know, there's going to be room for the Redskins. Maybe if that tie helps them get in on a wild card, but, you know, Tampa's looking pretty good. Atlanta's still, you know, somehow getting by. They crushed the Rams this week, but, you know, it's the Rams. So, you know, I don't know. It's starting to take shape, but there's still a lot of questions, and actually in both conferences.
Yeah, as I pointed out, and I mean, it's the phrase that came to my mind as I was doing it, a lot of moving parts. And there still are yet a lot of moving parts, the whole thing. If I were to answer the same question you had, I think – I'm not willing yet to completely, even with the Tannehill situation, and I'm not even certain. Who's Miami's backup?
No idea.
Oh, geez.
I honestly don't know. I really don't. I don't even have a clue.
Even with I'm going to look that one up. But even with Tannehill being out, I'm not necessarily ready yet to completely put a fork in Miami, because I still think Miami could be a real thorn in the side of, say, a team like Denver. Right now, Denver, in most models, I think holds the second wild card, but Miami's right there.
They'll have to do it with either Matt Moore or TJ Yates.
Okay,
those are the only other two quarterbacks on the roster, and I'm not even sure who's number two, because I'm just looking at their roster, and they don't really have a depth chart. So,
well, I think
I
think Matt Moore is who came in for Tannehill last week. Isn't that who came in for him? Let me just check it. Yes, Matt Moore.
Tannehill.
No,
he didn't
Matt
have
Moore.
Much, though. I mean, that was the end of the game, wasn't it?
Matt Moore came in. He was 3 of 5 for 47 yards.
Okay.
So, I mean, not. I don't know exactly what time that injury took place. I thought I had heard that it was Matt Moore that came in for him. So I'm not prepared necessarily to say that Miami is absolutely the one. But what I am prepared to say right now, Indianapolis, book your tee times. Indianapolis, book your tee times. You're done. Indianapolis, in my opinion, absolutely positively had to win against Houston, and they didn't get it done. And not only didn't they get it done, they didn't get it done really well, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, they only lost by 5 points, but the Colts, to me, are a fraud team. They are absolutely a fraud team. I think the whole AFC South is, but with the exception of one team in there, I think Tennessee is an up-and-coming team. So I'll give them, I forgive them. They're not a fraud team. Houston is positively a fraud team. Houston has is a minus 45 in point differential, and they're leading the division, for God's sake.
Well,
minus
45. Okay, that's fine, but Houston does have a solid defense. I don't care, you know, their offense may be inept, and you know, but defensively, Houston is not a fraud. They have a solid defense, especially, you know, front seven. You know, they got Merciless in there, and Clowney's playing better, and you know, they're not a bad defensive team. But to go back to your point on the Dolphins, how do you this is their remaining schedule.
Yep.
They got to go to the Jets, go to the Bills, and then they finish at home against New England. And Miami, typically, when they go on the road to cold weather cities like the Jets and Buffalo this time of year, do not do very well historically. I just don't see how the Dolphins, you know, with a backup quarterback, their remaining schedules, all division games, two of which are on the road in cold weather cities. And then they got to play New England, who, you know, very well maybe not playing for anything, you know, but, you know, we've never seen Belichick hold back and rest anybody. I mean, yeah, he may pull Tom Brady in the third quarter if it doesn't mean much, but, you know, I'm sorry. I don't see how Miami.
Well, it seems to me Miami.
They don't pass the test to me.
Miami.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Miami has to compete. What's Miami competing for? They're competing for a wild card, okay? So,
oh yeah,
Who are they competing against? They're competing
against the
Ravens, against
the Raiders, and Broncos.
Right, the Raiders, the Ravens, and the Broncos is absolutely correct.
I think
that's who they're competing.
And you could
against.
Actually throw your Tennessee Titans or Texans in there as well, because
maybe.
One of them two, yeah, they're only a game of difference. You know, I mean, the Ravens. Right now Miami's 8-5. Your wild card contenders are Baltimore at 6-7, either Houston or Tennessee at 6-7. The Raiders are 10-3 in second place to the Chiefs, so they're in for sure. And the Broncos are at 8-5. So, you know, you think Miami's going to somehow manage to win one of two cold weather games to either stay ahead of or keep pace with the Broncos? Because I'll tell you what, the Broncos are playing New England this week. And New England traditionally plays badly in Denver. They can never find a way to beat that team in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if you're going to look at that and even say, okay, that's a win for Denver, that means Miami has to win one of those two cold weather games to keep to keep pace.
Now, I know that Miami is playing at New York, at the Jets this weekend.
And then they go to Buffalo the following week.
Okay, and then what, did they close the season out with New England?
In Miami, correct.
Okay.
In what may be a meaningless game.
For
but
your
you know
team.
How Belichick is. Yeah.
For your
well,
team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
All the more.
Maybe.
All
they
the
still
more.
May be playing. If home field throughout is not locked up, I guarantee you Belichick's going to open all the guns.
Okay.
You know, all the barrels of the guns. They will not stop.
If it, in fact, is meaningless... Okay, that's all the more. That's all the better for Miami. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, with Matt Moore or with whomever. Who did you say the other one is?
T.J. Yates.
Oh, T.J. Yates used to be down there with the Houston Texans. I'm going to tell you right now, Miami wins this week against the Jets. They win this week
Not
against
a
the
chance.
Jets. They win this
Not
week against the
a
Jets.
Chance.
It's
they
listen,
are
it's,
done.
It's
Stick
one
the
of the
fork in them. They're done.
it's one of the games I have proposed for this week. And that game is being played on Saturday night. That's the Saturday night game, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now, Miami wins that. The Jets are a mess right now. And I'm telling you right now, they will beat the Jets this week. Now, they beat the Jets this week.
That's after the Jets came back to win in overtime. Just last week against another bad team.
I don't care. Yeah, right. Who did they beat? Exactly.
The 49ers.
The 49ers.
Hold on. Hey, wait. When you're talking about bad teams on all sides of the ball here, and, you know, that's a pretty good win. I don't think you're saying the Jets are an absolute mess. They beat them in San Francisco.
In overtime, you beat the 49ers,
right,
who haven't won since week one.
Wait a minute. Why am I arguing for the New York Jets? What the hell's wrong with
you're really arguing against the Dolphins. That's why you're arguing on this one. See, that's
I think you're missing it. Even if they do win, they're not going to outlast the Ravens, the Broncos, the Tennessee Titans or Texans. One of those teams are probably one or all of them could win out.
All right, hold on now. Listen, I'm playing your game here a minute. You said two games. They got to win two of three games. All right, I'm telling you right now, they win this Saturday. There's one. All right, now they got to win one of two now remaining. And you're saying they've got Buffalo in Buffalo, and they got New England at home.
Yep.
You've already indicated New England may be meaningless. If it is,
well,
that helps Miami. Hold on. That helps
that
Miami.
That all changes
with a loss to Denver. You and I have also seen some very, very, very competitive games, interdivision, between New England and whomever they're playing. It doesn't matter. It could be Buffalo. It could be the Jets. It could be the Dolphins. Every season, you see some very, very competitive games between New England and whom, you know, one of their three competing teams in their division. That's a home game for Miami. I'm telling you, that would be the game. They could drop the game to Buffalo. They could drop the game to Buffalo. If they win this week, then they got to win. Then they got to win in week 17. They win this week. They win week 17. They make the playoffs. I've made a case right now for Miami. It's not going to happen.
It's fantasy world. I'm sorry. You're not going to outlast Denver and the Ravens because the Raiders already have the one spot done. I would agree with you. You could make the case if you didn't have three better teams that they have to outlast. You know, I just don't see it happening. You're not going to outlast the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, and either the Texans or the Titans. I think all four of those teams are better teams than Miami at this current time, especially without their starting quarterback. Their running back, who's kind of hit the wall. See, that's my point. I mean, even if they manage to win two of those three games, I don't see them out. One of those other three teams or two is going to run the table.
Baltimore,
and it could be Denver, could be Baltimore. Baltimore looked awesome in that loss last night to New England.
Baltimore has been streaky all season long.
They have been streaky. They just about beat an 80-game win streak that the Patriots had at home.
They got lucky because your special teams was sloppy.
It's part of the game. They got sloppy.
They got sloppy. The Ravens weren't even in that game for most of it last night. I don't know.
That running back, Ravens, Dixon, man, he's a beast for them.
Every time they gave him the ball,
I was cringing.
ravens remaining schedule. All right, I concede this week to them. They play the Eagles.
That's not a cakewalk.
Oh, come on. That's a cakewalk. They got to go on the road to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day.
That's going to be tough. But that could be for the division right there.
That's right there, absolutely. I agree with you.
And if the Ravens win that means Pittsburgh's now in the wild card argument, and Miami's even more screwed because Pittsburgh's got the exact same record as Miami.
And then, let's see, and then the Ravens close out the season at Cincinnati. All right, that's probably a win, right?
So the only tough game the Ravens have is against Pittsburgh, which is
another division game, which is going to be
for the AFC North. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. I think even if Miami wins two, I still don't think they make the playoffs. How about that?
Okay.
I think one of those other teams is going to beat them out.
Wow.
And I'm even conceding Denver beating New England this week, okay? Because, you know, more often than not, when New England goes to Denver, they lose. And if that gives Denver that win right there could propel Denver to, you know, win out. And I know they have some division games left, but, you know, that's the kind of, you know, win that would, you know, give that team some motivation. And they're going to have to face every week like it's an elimination game, because it essentially is for them in the division they're in.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it.
And that defense is solid.
And the case that I will make here momentarily, because I figured I'll jump this up since we're talking about making cases. The case that I will make here momentarily for the Green Bay Packers winning their division outright is absolutely dependent upon the Green Bay Packers winning all three of their remaining games. They have to win all three. Now, if Miami wins all three of their remaining games, I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Dolphins get in. I mean, at that point, you're sitting at 11-5. I mean, listen, if you don't make it into the playoffs at 11-5,
they're not
going to
win
all
three of their remaining games. They're not going to win two of them. They might win one.
I would agree with you. I don't think they'll win all three. I think Green Bay has a chance at winning all three, and that's why I'll make that case here momentarily. But
they're
going
to need Detroit to lose too, right?
Okay, all right. There's the other part of the equation that I'll bring in here. But I think Miami can win two out of three. I think they can win two out of three. I think they win this week, and I think they can win their final week in Miami against the Patriots.
Not if it matters.
That's my prediction.
Not if it matters.
Okay.
If Denver beats New England this week, that game now matters. It becomes
If nothing else, it makes for fun. It makes for fun Tuesday night talk right here on Frat House Sports' Red Zone.
Well, next
There's
Tuesday,
no
you'll be like, oh, you were right.
I'm ready to get there.
They suck.
I'm ready
to lost to the Jets in the cold New York Jets stadium.
Really? You're going to make me sound forlorn? I sound forlorn doing it.
I'm just saying. Look up Miami's record in sub-40 degree weather. It's like 1 or 2 in 50. They don't win in the cold.
They're playing
in December.
They're playing the Jets. Okay? And the Jets.
Okay.
All right.
I agree. They suck. You're right. They do suck. I'm not going to argue with you on that point. The Jets suck. We're in a total 100% agreement. The Jets suck.
I just think the Dolphins equally suck. The Colts, by the way, are out of here.
I agree. They're done. You can stick a fork in them.
All right. We're in agreement on sticking a fork in the Indianapolis Colts.
So if you're so steadfast on Miami, does that mean you're giving up on the Denver Broncos? Because
I am practically giving up on the Denver Broncos, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
I'm surprised. Even if they were to beat New England this week. Which is a high likely, you know, based on history, it's a likely event, to be honest with you. I don't care who's, you know, the quarterback or what, that defense is solid, and the New England Patriots always struggle against Denver in Denver. I don't care if it's go back to the Tim Tebow days. Go back to, you know, I think Tebow beat them at the end of 1 year out there. It doesn't matter. Go back to, obviously, the Elway days and when Shannon Sharp was there. Who was right after Elway? I think it was Bubby Brister was a quarterback
from Pittsburgh?
No. Yeah, he was in
Bubby
Denver
Brister
for a while.
He would have come over from Pittsburgh, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an infamous video where they got, you know, Shannon Sharp on the field on a sideline phone picking it up and pretending he was calling the president, saying, call the president, we need the National Guard. The Broncos are killing the Patriots. And it was hilarious. It was funny, but it's the truth.
I ought to get Bubby Brister on the air with us. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I ought to get Bubby Brister
on. I'm pretty sure it might have been Bubby Brister was the quarterback. Or maybe that was maybe the I have to look it up. I'm not sure what year that would have been. But I know they were still in their old uniforms. So that was probably that was probably still LA, because I know they switched to the new uniforms before LA was done.
Look, I'm looking at the AFC West, and this is a battle. We're seeing it. We're seeing it set up this way, and we've known this now for, I guess, a little while. This is setting up as a battle between Kansas City and Oakland, and I think that Denver is fast getting left behind in the dust of it all. That's my perfect. That's the only way I can assess it. And I agree with you that when you start to take a look at. I'm not 100% sold that Baltimore is absolutely going to be one of the wild cards. I don't know that. I suppose Denver could get that last one, but I don't know. It just I don't know.
What about your up and coming Titans?
Here's the thing that I would say. If the Titans are going to win that, they got to win that one outright in their own division. They got to win that. They just got to win the division. So they're not getting in as a wild card. I don't think you're getting a wild card out of the AFC South, period. Tennessee has got to win that division. And I don't know if they can. I don't think Houston's all that. I haven't looked at Tennessee's schedule. I can pull that one up here momentarily. But
I guarantee either Tennessee or Houston has to play the Colts, and we're both in agreement they're done. So that's a win, because we got enough division games left. They probably one or both still play the Colts at least once.
I'm probably giving away some of my picks for Thursday night. One of the games though that I do have that I have put forth. I put forth six games as a possibility.
The Miami game against the Jets is in there. I'm on record. The Jets win.
You want that game as part of the Thursday night mix? I guess we better make
it. List or no?
Yes, it is.
And
it's Saturday night game. So I guess we better make that. We better put that one in there. All right, now. We're talking about the Patriots and the Broncos. Do we want that game in the mix on Thursday night? Because right now the Patriots are a 3-point favorite in Denver.
No.
That doesn't mean anything to you.
No, because I've seen my team lose too many times in Denver late in the year to various different quarterback-led, Broncos teams. I don't know if it's something with the thin air or what, but for whatever reason, when the Patriots go to New England or go to Denver, it ends poorly for the Patriots. I don't know if there's an easy explanation for why. It just seems that's the way it always is. That's just one place I don't like going in the end of the year as a Patriots fan.
All right, so we're going to go – there's two out of four of the games, so we'll have to figure out what the other two games are going to be. The Tennessee Titans, by the way, I just pulled their schedule up, remaining schedule for the three games that they've got. They got to go to Kansas City this
good?
Week.
They got to go to
Kansas City this week and play Kansas City. In Kansas City.
Yeah, good luck with that. they may be an up-and-coming team, but Kansas City's already there.
They will then
as we
play
saw last week.
At Jacksonville, and they close out the season hosting Houston. Oh man. There's their schedule. Could get interesting. Houston, meanwhile. This week is hosting. They're hosting Jacksonville. So that's who Houston is. Houston's at Jacksonville. And Tennessee is at Kansas City. Hey, you know what? Good for Tennessee. I think it's great. They're an up-and-coming team. They may not get in there this year. But All right. Now, look, one of the other ones I've been I kind of was referencing there, Green Bay. How can Green Bay win? How can Green Bay not only get into the playoffs, but win the division outright? Green Bay right now sitting at 7-6, and Detroit right now is 9-4. Green Bay, as I point out, would have to win outright. They have to win all three of their games remaining. Okay, now, here are their remaining games. This week, they are in Chicago to play the Bears.
Win.
That game, by the way, has I have suggested that as one of our Thursday night pick 'em games. So they got to play the Chicago Bears. Green Bay Packers are a 6.5-point favorite this week. Christmas Eve, they will host the Minnesota Vikings. And then they will close out the season in Detroit to play the Lions. All right?
Okay.
Now, the Lions, on the meantime, have to this week go to the New York Giants. And then the day after Christmas, they will – so there's a day after Christmas. There is a day after Christmas game. How about that? There is a Monday night game. Okay, so that's the Monday night game. Monday night, they will be in Dallas to play the Cowboys, and then they close out the season hosting the Green Bay Packers. Man, oh man, I'm going to tell you right now, Green Bay has to win all three, but if they do, I can see Green Bay winning the division outright.
Yeah, I would agree with that based on the schedules. They definitely have a clear path to it. They can't slip up against the Bears or the Vikings, and I don't think they will. You know, I think the Vikings game is going to be a little closer than the Bears.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, as we say, you know, division games, you know, you never know. You know, I think the Bears are pretty much done at this point, even if it is a division game. You know, the Vikings, they look like they've been packing it in since they had their early hot streak, really, to me. I mean, yeah, they won last week, but they don't look good in doing it. So, yeah, I could see that. The only thing I will say is Green Bay needs to keep the momentum of what they did last week and keep it moving in that same direction. In other words, they can't go back to the way they were playing before when they were sloppy and turnovers and not moving the ball and not scoring. You know, that they can't do that, you know. I will say this, though. You know, I do not like Detroit's remaining schedule. They could lose out. They really could. You could make a case that they could lose out. You know, New York's a hot team. They just beat Dallas. Then, you know, Detroit has to go to Dallas, you know, and play them, who are, you know, if they, you know, lose another game, good Lord knows who's even going to be playing quarterback. But, you know. You could almost make a case that they could lose out, Detroit.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
I totally agree with your case for the Packers. As much as I disagree with your case for the Dolphins, I agree with your case for the Broncos. Or the Packers, rather. Sorry.
All right. Well,
I think that's way more. I agree.
Realistic.
Wholeheartedly.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me.
It's realistic. Yep. And it wouldn't bother me. I'm going to be honest with you. It wouldn't bother me in the least.
I think it would make
the
playoffs interesting.
It sure would. Absolutely would. I'm just curious. Let's just say for a moment, 9-6 or 4-5-6. No, 9-7. 9-7. 9-7. If Detroit were to lose their last remaining games, three games, that would make them 9-7. That might not be good enough to get into the playoffs.
No, it may not.
Wow.
Not with the Redskins having that tie. Depending
uh-huh.
on, you know, if they even if they lose another game, they'll have that tie in there and be, you know, like 9-6-1.
That tie
could hurt them.
That would really, really be incredible. If Green Bay were to win their remaining three and Detroit were to lose their remaining three, that would be one for the record books for sure. We'd be talking collapses and rises at the same time, because Green Bay right now is already on a three-game winning streak. So if they were to win their remaining three, that would be six in a row for them, which would put them at 10-6, which would mean they started this run when they were 4-6. Holy smokes. Wow.
Based on the case you just made, if Detroit loses out, Green Bay could even lose a game and still win.
Yep.
Because they play head-to-head the end of season.
Exactly.
So it's possible they could even drop that game to Minnesota, still win it, and still win the division based on, what depends on what the Lions do. Then neither one are making on a wild card, that's for sure.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so it could
I think
only,
your wild cards are coming out of the East and probably the South, believe it or not, based on the fact that the Buccaneers and Falcons just look like the teams right now.
Of course, that's going to depend upon, I think, whether, in fact, Tampa Bay is not just a flash in the pan at the moment. See, Tampa Bay's got a tough one this week. Tampa Bay has got to go to it's got to go to Dallas and play the Cowboys.
No, I agree. That's a tough one.
That's a Sunday night game. Sunday night game, and Dallas is going to be coming off of that loss. They didn't look very well. Dak Prescott didn't look real good himself, personally. Look, my opinion, you give the kid a bad game. It's no big deal because he's looked so remarkable all season long. It's not a big deal if he had a bad game. So what? Listen, he didn't have that bad a game. They only lost by 3 points. I mean, it wasn't like Eli Manning was lighting the world on fire. So
right. No, you're right. They were still in the game.
Exactly right. So, but was Dak Prescott as sharp as we've seen him in the past? No. Nonetheless, Dallas right now is a 7-point favorite over Tampa Bay on Sunday night. Oh, boy. Wow. So, all right. Anyhow, there's a couple of scenarios we've run by for you. Like I said, I think you can probably anticipate there will be. I'm certain that
for the next two weeks
we'll be starting off the program, doing exactly what we just did there for sure, and using the first 45 minutes of the program or so just taking a look at, matchups and scenario matchups. Anyhow. Real quick, we'll take a look at that Kansas City and Oakland game from last week, Brendan. I guess bad on me. I have been discounting this Kansas City Chiefs team, not just this year. I've been discounting them for years. I've been saying for years, come on, Alex Smith is, who cares? He's a who cares quarterback. Alex Smith, though, the other last Thursday night against the Oakland Raiders, 17 of 26, 264 yards, one touchdown and one interception. But it was the Kansas City defense, as we talked about before, they had a touchdown. The defense had a touchdown. There was a punt return from Tyreek Hill. There's Tyreek Hill again. So we had a punt return.
That guy is like greased lightning on the field.
Oh, it's insane. Absolutely insane.
He looks like he has an extra gear over every player on the field. I mean, when he gets an open field and he's running, he just looks so much faster. I mean, he's pulling away from everybody if he gets an open field. It's insane.
That's a guy right now.
Yep.
Because you and I, we're sitting off on the sidelines while the fantasy playoffs are going on.
Yep,
you got to make
yep.
a mental note. You make a mental note in your head. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Right. For next year's draft. Yeah. So,
well, definitely Kansas City's defense if he's going to keep playing special teams for sure. He's
exactly.
a heck of a returner at the very least. I don't know if he's going to, I don't know that he's made too much of a mark as a receiver yet, but, we'll see. You know, but we've seen guys before who, like, you know, your Devin Hesters and guys like that who are great returners, but they just couldn't quite grasp the receiver position. I'm not saying Tyreek Hill's like that, but, you know, because I think he is a rookie. So, you know, clearly he has years to develop here, but he's certainly one of the fastest pure speed guys on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're pointing out, kind of an all-purpose guy. Not only can he can he run the ball, but he's you know, he can receive the ball. I mean, the kid can seemingly do just about everything.
He is a wide receiver. That's his position, right?
He had I thought he was actually technically a running back. Let me just check that real quick. The he is listed as a wide receiver.
Okay.
Wide receiver.
That's what I thought. So, I thought he was a wide receiver.
We have seen him, though, used in running situations. So, but
well, I'll say this: if he starts to develop and show promise as a wide receiver, his returning days will probably get numbered, unfortunately, because he has that kind of talent that you're not going to risk him on the return game if he turns out to be, you know, a solid receiving option. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just my opinion at this point, but, you know.
I agree with you. Now, he had that punt return. He also had six receptions for 66 yards, and he had the other touchdown, so we saw two touchdowns from him. And he, as I pointed out, he did carry the ball a couple of times in this game. So, Tyreek Hill is the Chiefs' new secret weapon, I guess, is what we're going to refer to him
right?
as.
I don't know that he's that much of a secret after
not a secret,
start watching
though.
The game film.
Not a secret.
My God, he's fast.
If you take a look at this Raiders and Chiefs game, though, the thing that was missing out of all of it, you want to talk about a bad game? You know, we were just mentioning, you know, chalk a bad game up for Dak Prescott. You know, you got to give every quarterback is probably entitled to a clunker or two. This was Derek Carr's. Derek Carr had a clunker in this one. 17 of 41, 117 yards, zero touchdowns, no interceptions, mercifully, 49.1 passer rating. Excuse me. The Raiders had one touchdown rushing from Latavius Murray, Murray had 103 yards on the ground. But the thing that I noticed about Carr, Brandon, in this game was, boy, did the frustration show. Boy, could you see it. He just looked rattled. He looked frustrated. Kansas City's defense really, really. And, you know, when it came right down to it, Oakland didn't lose by much. They only lost by 8 points. But if you were to look at Derek Carr's numbers just by themselves, you would have thought that the Raiders would have lost by a lot more.
Well, I got a question for you. You said he looked rattled. Do you think any of this has a little bit to do with his torn ligaments and his pinky on his throwing hand? Because I'll tell you, last night on Monday Night Countdown, Matt Hasselbeck was making a case that the pinky is a much more important finger in throwing the football than the middle finger, like Matt Stafford has for the Lions. He has torn ligaments in his middle finger, but his argument was, when you throw the ball, your follow through, your pinky is very important, and that's where Derek Carr, you know, has an injury right now. He's missing his ligaments. I think he has some torn ligaments in his pinky on his throwing hand. So, you know, do you think some of that may have to do with the, you know, bad game or not looking as sharp as normal? Potentially?
Hmm. I'm going to say this. Interesting observation. I'm.
Oh, it's not mine. I'm not going to take credit.
No.
Matt Hasselbeck, you know, was the one who was. They were talking about the two injuries because you have, you know, two quarterbacks that have torn ligaments in different fingers of their throwing hand, and they were just trying to make a comparison. So, he was making it sound like Carr was in worse shape than Stafford moving forward.
You saw a good deal of the Raiders Chiefs game.
Oh yeah. He was not as accurate, for sure.
No, but I didn't necessarily see. Now, there's here. I'll bring up. I'm going to bring this up here 1 second. I got an interesting stat here with regard to Derek Carr, but it didn't appear to me that his passes were missing anything. Like he was necessarily like he didn't have the zip on the ball, or that I don't know. I didn't necessarily notice that he was terribly, terribly inaccurate. Here is the
I don't
one
think
thing,
it was though. Quite as sharp as he's been, though.
Here's what the stats, though. Here's what the stats are showing, interestingly enough. If you take a look at the box score, you had 5 passes to Amari Cooper, 3 to Michael Rivera, 2 to Clive Walford, 4 to Michael Crabtree. All right, now, longest passes to each of these. Cooper, 10 yards. Rivera, 14. Crabtree, 12. Seth Roberts, 13. He wasn't throwing it long.
Well, maybe that's where the injury was coming in a little.
Yeah.
Maybe his ability to throw, you know, 20, 30 yards downfield accurate is missing. Maybe that's why he was trying to tailor. Maybe they were trying to tailor the game to what, you know, what strengths he had left, I guess. Possible. And might be onto something there with the, you know, the short throws, because the Raiders always were downfield, and even with Carr, you know, he's had some really, you know, nice long passes to Crabtree, and I guess Amari Cooper's got in on it a little bit, but Crabtree seems to be his deep guy for sure.
Yeah, you flip over to the other side of the ledger, you take a look at Alex Smith. 34-yard longest ball to Travis Kelce. 39 yards to Chris Connolly, 36 yards to Tyreek Hill, 15 yards even to Jeremy Maclin. So, obviously Derek Carr was playing with a handicap. There's no doubt about it. From the ESPN program last night, what is the status of Derek Carr's injury there? Is
he's
that something
play
that's going to be?
It. No,
that's
he's
something that's going to be taken
but...
care of. Care of in the offseason? Is that surgery requirement or no?
I'm not sure. They didn't really get into it. I don't think when you have a team with a player playing through it like that, I don't think they're going to be, you know, fully disclosing the extent of the injury. So I don't think anybody knows if it's a possible tear that's going to heal on its own or if it does require surgery. I don't know. They didn't say anything specifically about either him or Stafford. You know, I don't know. I don't know about a ligament in a finger. I don't know how, obviously when you have if you tear a ligament, like in your knee, either, you know, any one of the three, you're getting surgery. So I'm not sure how, you know, it could depend whether it's a full tear, or partial tear, you know, that kind of thing or what. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, but according to Matt Hasselbeck, who was a starting quarterback in the NFL for many, many years, he said it's very hard to throw, you know, a ball accurately without having your pinky, you know, on the ball. So, I don't know. You would think the pinky would be the least important, that the middle finger would be much more. But in reality, you know, the way he was showing it, he was even gripping a football, showing that you primarily grip it with your thumb, index finger, and you know, the pinky is more of a, you know, the guide, you know what I mean? The guide finger. And, you know, it hurts your follow through. And, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. I hope it doesn't, you know, hinder Carr to the point where the Raiders, you know, the playoffs and, you know, become a one and done team or something. I'd like to see the Raiders actually, you know, make an impact of some sort.
Yeah.
And I like what they've done so far. And, you know, you hate to see them, you know, have an injury kind of derail or sidetrack that in any way.
Well, you've got me so concerned here. I just went and I pulled up Oakland's remaining schedule, you know, because now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what would happen if Oakland, you know, this has an impact on the Raiders? Because like you know, I've been referring to them as the feel good Raiders. You know, I'm kind of replacing them a little bit with the feel good Tennessee Titans, but, you know, I want to see the Raiders advance, and we both recognize that there are flaws to this team, to this Raiders team. You know, there are absolutely areas that they must address in the offseason if they want to take the next step. They're not a Super Bowl team yet, but they're certainly a team that is playoff worthy for sure.
Offensively, I think they're worthy offensively. I think they need to, you know, firm up that defense a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, though, that team's pretty stout.
Yep,
but go ahead.
No doubt about it. This week they are at San Diego. Then they, on Christmas Eve, they host the Indianapolis Colts, and then they close out the season on New Year's Day at Denver.
So what's this week, Seattle?
No, San Diego. Did I say Seattle? I'm sorry if I did. San Diego.
No,
San Diego.
I may have misheard. That's fine. San Diego. Okay, they're kind of a I look at them as kind of a, you know, quit and done kind of team. You know, we already both kind of said we think the Colts are done. So there's two they could win. And Denver, that game may be Denver playing for their lives. And if the Raiders win the first two, if they beat San Diego this week and the Colts next week, they're going to lock themselves into that first wild card for sure. If not, you know, unless the Chiefs have a meltdown and, you know, if not the division. So, you know, they're going to be pretty much locked in if they win those two games. So that game against Denver, you know, that may not matter to Oakland really much, depending, you know, how the next couple of weeks go.
The one thing I will say for having to play San Diego, we know this about the Chargers. They're another shoot 'em up team. That's going to be a shootout. You know,
but their defense is god-awful. I mean, as bad as the Raiders are, the Chargers are worse.
But my point is, anticipate that you're going to see, number one, a heavy dose of Latavius Murray. You're going to see a heavy dose of the ground game. But you're probably going to see a heavy dose of Derek Carr throwing the ball again.
Yeah.
You know, the pinky obviously didn't stop Derek Carr from putting the ball in the air. He did it 17 times, or 41 times. It's just his completion percentage was god-awful at 17.
Yeah.
So, you know, anticipate that he's going to throw the ball a lot. Hopefully we can – maybe they can stabilize that somehow or another. I don't know. Maybe they
can come up with a better brace-type thing.
Exactly.
They did make a point of showing he had, like – he tried, like, four different gloves during the game. You know, they were showing him switching gloves out, trying everything he could to, you know, help the injury, you know what I mean, be less prohibitive. But, you know, nothing they had, you know, available during the game seemed to do the trick. Let's just put it that way.
And I guess what? A quarterback has to have the mobility of that finger? I mean, splinting it wouldn't work?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I mean, it's a pinky. You're holding it for, you know, what are you doing with the, you know, I'm trying to, you're really holding it to steady it is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that finger is really not involved in spinning the ball or anything. It's really there for stability.
But according to Matt Hasselbeck, it's involved in the follow through, which is very important as to where the ball ends up.
All right.
So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not an expert. I'm only going with what they.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I'm not a doctor.
Mechanics. Yeah, I'm not a quarterback mechanics expert. So.
Right, I'm not a doctor. I only play one on the radio. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Enough with the Raiders. They got the San Diego Chargers, as I pointed out this week. Let's just take a look real quick. What is the line on that one? Oakland is favored by 3. That is the 4:25 game on Sunday afternoon. So they are favored by 3 in San Diego. All right. So, all right. Well, hopefully that goes well for the San Diego fans and for, well, us here at Frat House Sports, because we like them this year. We like them a lot. We were just talking about the Denver Broncos, and you know, you're saying to me, well, have you given up on the Broncos? Well, let's take a look at what the Broncos did last week. 13-10, they lost to the Tennessee Titans. in Tennessee, by the way. Trevor Siemian was 35 of 51. The ball in the air 51 times, 334 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, 93.1 passer rating. They didn't run the ball. You know, Denver just kills me. It seems every year we got an issue with running back on this team. Every stinking year they got a problem one way or another with running back on this team. You know?
I hear you.
Justin Forsett is now their guy, and he got 17 yards on 6 carries, and I guess after that they said, screw it, we're not running the ball anymore. Demaryius Thomas had 10 receptions, 126 yards. Emmanuel Sanders had the only touchdown on 100 yards receiving. See, my problem with Denver, Brandon, is Trevor Siemian. I've lost – yes, he looked really, really good at the beginning of the season. I have just lost any real confidence in the kid from about midseason on. I don't know why. I can't even point to a particular game that it was. It's just that all of a sudden Denver just doesn't strike me. Yeah, their defense is there. We know that. You know, they're still a strong defensive team. They might still make the playoffs because of that. But I just don't have any kind. And again, the ground game, no ground game. You know, they tried this kid Bibbs out for a couple of weeks. I guess he's no good. I don't know.
Well, in Simeon's defense, I believe he is playing with a shoulder injury. So, I don't know. You know, again, it's tough to say what injuries,
well, bring Paxton,
you know,
Lynch
how bad
in
they are. Well,
I mean, Paxton Lynch, I thought he played well in the game that he played. In fact, didn't he play a game and a half? I think he came in for half a game.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you why, you know, Kubiak makes the decisions he makes, but, you know.
See, to me, I like Paxton Lynch.
The team is still in the playoff hunt. If you have more confidence in Siemian as a starter, that's who they got to go with, in my book. I mean, at least, you know, because Paxton Lynch, yeah, if you are out of it and you want to see what you have, absolutely. No problem with that, but they're not out of it. They still have a shot at making a wild card yet, you know? I'm not, you know, who knows? With the right, you know, combination of stuff, they might even have a shot at the division yet. I don't know. Mathematically, anyway. It's probably not very realistic at this point, but, you know, their defense is still a Super Bowl caliber defense, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And defense can bail you out of a lot of stuff. You know, there's 3 games left and they're 2 games behind, you know, both the Chiefs and the Raiders. So it's pretty apparent that one of them two is going to win the division. But, you know, I still think the Raiders are definitely, or the Raiders, the Broncos are definitely in play for a wild card.
Oh, they're in play. I just don't know if you're actually going to see. It's a good thing I'm not a betting man because I have not done well in my picks this week. But I was going to say, if I'm a betting man, I would bet that you're not getting 2 wild card teams out of the West right now. Maybe earlier in the season, I would have said, yes, you will. Right now, I say, no, you won't. Tennessee won this game, but holy smokes, I'm looking at Marcus Mariota's numbers. 6 of 20 for 88 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, a 45.4 passer rating. DeMarco Murray had 92 yards on 21 carries, and he had a touchdown. Wow. You know, with the I'm just curious. Let me just see the I want to see the Tennessee put up a total of 253 offensive yards. That was it. You know, it's really amazing that Tennessee won this game. I'm just trying to figure out where they won the game. You know, how in the world did they win this game, for God's sakes? Denver beat them in first downs. Let's see, Tennessee had time of possession. 253 yards of offense. That's all they had.
Is that a sign of how inept the Denver Broncos offense was in that particular game, or what? Because, I mean, we know the Broncos have a solid defense, and if they held the Titans to 252, you know, total yards, that's not a bad number, I'm sure, overall. And you're, you know, I wonder if that just goes to show, maybe was there some intangibles like a special teams or a defensive touchdown that helped Tennessee, you know, pull that off?
Yeah, this is what I'm looking at. No defensive touchdown. Tennessee had DeMarco Murray TD, and they had two field goals. They had two field goals from Ryan Succop. They did get to Trevor Siemian quite a bit. They knocked him around. They hit him 10 times. I'm just taking a look. They sacked him 3 times, but they didn't intercept him. But they did knock him around quite a bit. So the Tennessee defense must have played fairly well. I do remember that they think they were one of the fantasy defenses that was able to rack up some numbers this past week. Yeah, I mean, this is a kind of a odd looking game in the box score for sure. Trying to think, we didn't take this game into too much. Perhaps
we watched some of it. We watched a lot of the first half, and you were just amazed at how ineffective the Broncos were.
Yeah, offensively, I guess, but. Because, I mean, defensively, they were there for sure. Denver defense obviously came to play. They only held Tennessee to 13 points. But anyhow, Tennessee did what they needed to do. They won the game, which is what they had to do. And as I pointed out, they sit in a tie, anyhow, with the Houston Texans for the AFC South at 7-6. Who does Tennessee play this week? I just mentioned it. Tennessee plays at Kansas City. So,
right. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It sure is.
All right. Let me see here. What do we want to go take? We're going to go take a look at the Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, this was a game that we had on here quite a bit the other day because this was a game that we both knew was going to kind of determine who the leader of the AFC South was going to be. Both teams went into the game tied in record at, 6-6. They were both 6-6 going into the day. Houston came out on top 22-17 over the Indianapolis Colts. Brock Osweiler was 14 of 24 for 147 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, 58.9 passer rating. Andrew Luck put the ball in the air 45 times, 24 of 45, 276 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. I remember those interceptions came back. I think, did one of them come back and bite him in the butt? No, it didn't, but I think one of them actually led to points. Yep. 68.4 passer rating. Lamar Miller had a rushing touchdown for the Texans. I mean, you know, this was a game. I was a little bit surprised that the Colts playing at home, Brandon, didn't come out with a lot more fire, that they just, you know, typical Colts, there's been a lot of talk about Pagano being gone by the end of the season. You know, maybe that might be a good thing. Maybe it might be a good thing. I know you keep saying that you don't know whether it's actually going to happen or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did. I mean, look, we just saw Jeff Fisher fired yesterday.
Yeah, this is true.
So it might not be a bad thing if it actually happened. I mean, I like Chuck Pagano. But this Colts team just, you know, they came off of that win last week, the week before. That was a must win for them. They came off of that. They did what they had to do last week. And then they come in here, they're at home. It's a, you know, this is for the division, and they just didn't look like they were, I don't know. I don't want to say they didn't look like they were into the game, but it looked to me like they could have brought more, and they just didn't. And I you know, that was the thing that I took away from this game. I don't know.
No, I think I agree with you. The Colts just look like something's not right. You know, it's tough to put your finger on it, you know. And if it wouldn't be for the fact that, you know, Gregson and Pagano both signed deals in the offseason, your natural inclination is to say, yeah, this team's done. Let's blow this up and, you know, go move on. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, you know, what the powers that be say, I suppose, when it's all said and done.
I read a great article. In fact, it's from one of our buddies, Phil Wilson, out there in Indianapolis. And I've been meaning to reach out to Phil. Maybe I'll see if I can get him on for this week. Phil wrote a great piece out there in Indianapolis for about the whole situation with Andrew Luck and how the longer that the Colts go mired in mediocrity as they are just absolutely positively waste Andrew Luck. I couldn't agree more with that assessment. I have been saying that now for the better part of about a season and a half, that the longer this team goes without making the necessary adjustments that they've got to make, not only offensively, but defensively as well, but offensively, get a ground game. Offensively, get an offensive line. The longer that they go, the more they are wasting the prime years of Andrew Luck. And I think Andrew Luck is a positive. I mean, I don't think we've seen really what Andrew Luck has the potential of being on a really good team. I don't think we've seen it.
Do you think there's a chance we could hear Luck asking for a trade at some point?
Well, didn't they just sign him? I don't know what his terms are. They just extended him, didn't they?
Yeah, it was like a 6-year, $120 million, you know, one of them monster-type contracts. You know, so, he'd have to be traded, I guess. I don't know. You got to think he don't want to just sit in this mediocrity they've been in. And that's kind of since Peyton Manning and Dungy have moved on from the team, that's kind of where they are, you know?
Yeah,
there were some signs there in the beginning of Pagano, but, you know, ever since Arians took the job with the Cardinals and isn't the OC, that team's been pretty bad. I'm not saying Bruce Arians is the answer to everything there, but, you know, maybe it was a combination of both of them. You know what I mean? Some guys mm-hmm. just work well together.
Yeah, and interesting about Arians, I don't know whether you've heard any of the same kind of rumors I have, but there's been some rumor that Arians might be gone from the Cardinals this year, at the conclusion mm-hmm. of this year.
I've heard his name mentioned,
and he's indicated that there have been some indications that he could be fired. But there's also been rumblings that before he would get fired, he would announce his retirement. So in other words, if he saw that the writing was on the wall, that he was going to be fired, the thinking is he would actually step in and go, I'm retiring.
Okay.
So just off the beaten path, sort of little thing that I heard today.
Well, I do believe he is up there. You know, he's up there in age. And, you know, when I believe at one point in time, the Arians
had a health issue, did he? Didn't he have a health issue at one point?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at one point in time, he was the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, and they kind of said he retired, and he's like, I ain't retired, and went on to be the you know, OC in Indianapolis and, you know, on to be a head coach. So, you know, we'll see. Let's see how it plays out. I think he did have some sort of health issue, though. You know, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm not, you know, Pagano had the cancer scare. I know that.
Right.
You know, and that's when Arians was filling in for him. But
and did such a great job with that Colts team.
Yeah, right.
And that's when, you know, Arians' stock really went up. I mean, a lot of people were,
you know. How's this sound? If, you know, the Cardinals and Arians find a way to split and the Colts clean house, you think there's any way you see Arians come back to be the head coach? Maybe he was just that good with Andrew Luck? I don't know. Something to think about anyway.
That would be kind of a neat idea, wouldn't it? See him go over to Indianapolis. I thought perhaps maybe you were going to suggest he come over here to the Philadelphia Phils, or Philadelphia Eagles, rather.
Well, I don't think Peterson's in any danger yet, is he?
Nobody's really 100% certain. I don't think he is, but there have been a lot of rumors that he might be. I don't think he is. That's not Jeffrey Lurie's way. Lurie doesn't fire after 1 year.
I don't think so.
It was highly
unusual.
Especially
not Andy Reid's protege.
It was highly unusual, I thought, that he got rid of Chip Kelly as soon as he did. If Jeff Lurie's got a bad habit, it's holding on to coaches too long.
I think you can say that the Chip Kelly move was for the good of the franchise because he was making some bad moves, you know, on that roster that, you know, you really got to watch some of what was going on there. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why Jeff Lurie made a proactive move to get rid of him more so than, you know, he may have in the past. But, I mean, you're trading away LeSean McCoy and, you know, making all these, you know, outlandish moves and trades and signing big contracts with DeMarco Murray and not using him. And, you know, some of his decisions were not the greatest. And I think that's why Jeff Lurie had to, you know, act upon what he was seeing out of, you know, Chip Kelly versus, you know, for the future, long-term future of the Eagles. I don't think he looks at Peterson the same way. I think he's more lenient and sees more of Andy Reid. You know, Andy Reid was there forever, you know. I think he's kind of enamored
years.
With Reid. I think he's 14 years. I think if Jeff Lurie had his way, he'd bring Reid back to the Eagles.
He'd bring Andy back. Yep, I agree with you.
Right. So he brought Andy Jr. the second best thing he could do.
I don't know if he's. I don't know if Doug Peterson's Andy Jr. But the books you have to be written
on that. To be determined.
I
some of what the Eagles have done this
year. I'm going to be honest with you. If the Kansas City Chiefs were to make it to the Super Bowl, I would positively, absolutely be rooting for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. I don't care who the NFC candidate is. I don't care who it is. I would root for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. I think he deserves it. That's just my personal opinion.
I could get on board with that.
But, I'm thinking Bruce Arians to Philadelphia simply because of the fact he's got the former Philadelphia connection, having been the former coach with the Temple Owls. So.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think whether I don't know if he's a something tells me he's from this region, this area somehow or another. Something tells me he's from this area, but all right. Anyhow, we got a couple of minutes here, so we'll squeeze in the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks. This was a highlight game. We had this one all over our radar. 4:30 game this past Sunday. Probably the highlight game of this past Sunday. A lot of people thinking, well, Seattle, while they're on the road and while they're playing in Green Bay, you know, Seattle is looking so good. They're looking so strong. You know, I've been very highly skeptical of the Seattle Seahawks really all season long. Of course, one could say the same thing about the Green Bay Packers, too. But I also brought up last week at this time Well, you know, now watch that Green Bay-Seattle game because, hey, Seattle could come in there. They could be playing in some, you know, kind of iffy, strange weather. Well, you know what? Just hours before game time, we're seeing them plow off mountains and mountains of snow off the field. Green Bay won this game 38-10, and I got to tell you something. It looked like it didn't look like a snowstorm. It looked like a hurricane. Green Bay was just all over Seattle. Russell Wilson was 22 of 39, 240 yards, a touchdown. Brandon, 5 interceptions to the Green Bay Packers. Holy smokes. That dropped his passer rating down to 43.7. Only touchdown to Tanner McAvoy for the Green Bay Packers, or for the Seattle Seahawks, rather. Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 23, 243 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 150.8 passer rating, and one word for Aaron Rodgers' performance, just surgical.
Yep.
Absolutely surgical. Touchdowns, rushing touchdowns from Ty Montgomery and Jeff Janis, and then passing touchdowns to Devontae Adams and 2 to Jordy Nelson. Green Bay Packers look like the Green Bay Packers we'd been looking for all season long, didn't they?
They even found a way to run the ball a little, I think. You know, somehow, some way. With their depleted running back core.
Yeah, they had 93 yards on the ground. They're running it by committee. Ty Montgomery had 41 yards. Christian Michael, who came over from what, Seattle, right? Did he come over from Seattle? 36 yards on the ground. Jeff Janis ran for 19 yards. So they're running the ball by committee right now to try to make up for Eddie Lacy. Maybe that's taken a couple of weeks to kind of work its way into the, you know, the game plan, Brandon. Maybe that's what the difference has been. You know, they lost Lacy, and it was like suddenly they're sitting there going, oh, you know, damn. Well, of course, they didn't say damn. They said something else, which I was originally thinking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're sitting there, and it looked like perhaps maybe they had to kind of figure their way out for a couple of weeks. And maybe they're doing that. Maybe that's what this is all about, just trying to figure out, you know, how to work this ground game into the mix. I think, though, the thing that I came away from was, you know, there's been a lot of chit-chat this season about, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look sharp. Something doesn't look right with him. Is he hurt? You know, is his head not in the game? You know, is it too much of the girlfriend? You know, all these stupid sorts of things coming up. I thought Aaron Rodgers looked the best I've probably seen him all season long right there. In this game.
Yeah, I would agree. He looked really good in that game. I think it's, you know, if the Packers are going to start to come together, now's the time to do it. You know, if you're hot going into the playoffs, you know, you've seen teams traditionally do better in the playoffs if they, you know, have a momentum wave they're riding. And, you know, if Rodgers can string together a couple games like that one, you know, your scenario you laid out earlier with the Detroit Lions and, you know, them winning the division, certainly plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if he keeps playing like that. I mean, my God. That's what everybody's been looking for.
And like I said, it wasn't, you know, this wasn't a snowstorm. It was a typhoon that we saw coming down there. That Green Bay put on. And in just a few minutes here, real quick, we'll just touch real quick on the Giants and Cowboys game, and that was Sunday night. Sunday night game, 10-7, Giants won that one. Dak Prescott, 17 of 37, 165, a touchdown and 2 interceptions, 45.4 passer rating. Eli Manning was 17 of 28 for 193, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 78.4 do the QB comparison, as I pointed out earlier in the program, Brandon. Was it like Eli Manning was necessarily setting the world on fire? You could see it right there in those numbers. Dak Prescott certainly did struggle a little bit. You could see it in the completion percentage, only 17 of 37, but he had those two interceptions. This was a kid we hadn't seen many interceptions from all season long. So just a bad game for for Dak Prescott. I would suspect, you give him the bad game, forgive him for it, and he bounces back, right? I mean, Dak Prescott's not going to let this one bother him, and he's going to bounce back just fine from this one. I'm trying to think. Dolphins play Buccaneers. Buccaneers are at Dallas this week, and that is the Sunday night game this week. So
I think you'll see, a recovery. This was for whatever reason, the Cowboys lost two games all year. It's both to the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants are that good of a team. I think Dallas is far and away a better team. Yet, for whatever reason, they have their number. So we've seen that before, with certain teams over the years. And, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll bounce back. They'll probably beat the Buccaneers, probably pretty easily, I would imagine. I mean, I hate to discount the Buccaneers, but, I don't think I think we're talking about apples and oranges here when you're looking at these two teams.
Dallas is favored in that one by 7. So it's not even really even a close line necessarily. The thing I will say that I was impressed with, as I pointed out earlier in the program, I think the difference in the Dallas New York game and the Cowboys Giants was the fact that the Giants, boy, oh boy, they brought that defense. They brought that defense on Dallas. That it really was an impressive defensive performance by the Giants. Not so much offensive, but I don't know. This Giants team this year, they're not necessarily wowing anybody, I think, offensively. So, all right, anyhow, there we go. That's our chat for tonight. Boy, oh boy, we've gone through. Is there a team we haven't talked about? Oh, give me a second. I'll think of
one. Jacksonville?
Yeah, right, exactly. Jacksonville.
Cleveland. We have not brought up Cleveland also.
And we could have because RG3 made his reappearance the other day. And God, was it god-awful. Because I did go in and take a look at his numbers. But anyhow, all right, there we go. You want to make sure you're back here with us next week because we'll do this all over again.
I don't think we brought the Saints up either, just for the heck of it.
We didn't bring the Saints up.
Anyway,
we even did, though, bring up the Jets a little bit.
Yeah, and Dolphins. And
how about
Bills.
That? Yeah, and the Dolphins. All right. Reminder, everybody, please be here with us on Thursday night for our Frat House Sports Show, our flagship program. We'll be coming to you on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Full program there with our guest co-host, Matt DeBios. He'll be joining us for the entire program. As Sidekick's going to take a program off for this week, but we'll have his picks of the week, so fear not on that one. But be here with us on Thursday evening for our Frat House Sports Show, and then right back here with you on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. All right, there you go for Week 14 here in the NFL. Make sure you're back next Tuesday night for Week 15. It's only going to be much more fun, trust me. All right, in the meantime, hey, there's sports on somewhere, so get out there and enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in.